Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one U.S. Congresswoman think about the infrastructure bill, biofuels, the situation in Afghanistan, and more? Let's go in depth with Congresswoman Cindy Axne. Congresswoman, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You're back in Iowa talking to people?
No, I'm in D.C. They called us back, so I got back here Sunday night for votes yesterday. We're trying to get some votes done today, so we'll see. Then hopefully I come back tomorrow or tonight.
Okay, I guess I was seeing that you had something on your schedule for tomorrow, and so I just thought you were in town.
One would hope, but no, that's never how it works. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Well, I presume that you're... Well, first let me say that this show isn't going to be able to air until next week, so this might all be over by then. Let's hope that it's over. But you're in the middle of a tough House battle where, I think it's 9 Democrats don't want to move on President Biden's budget plan. What are your thoughts on that? What's happening? This seems unusual to me.
I hope that we come to a resolution, and I believe we will be today. It seems as of last night that those House members understand that we've got to move this Build Back Better Act forward, and that's why we need to move this budget resolution so that we can help Americans. And we've got a lot of important measures within that will ensure that we build back better for this country and give working families better opportunity for success. So I think that we're going to see those folks come to the table, and I hope that we get that done sooner than later.
Well, can you lay out what are some of the most important and significant parts of the plans for Iowans?
Absolutely. Lowering the cost of prescription drugs, that's one of the key components in there that I'd love to see us get through. When I talk to Iowans who still cannot afford their diabetes medicine and take half of their insulin, we've got a big problem. Child care, Bob. I've been talking about child care till kingdom come. Everywhere I go in the district and talk to business owners, and they say, I cannot get workers because there's no child care. They're not telling me that they can't get, a worker because a bridge is down, which we do need to fix if it's down. But what they're saying, there's no child care available. I know how important that is to our state, where we're one of the highest states of 2 working parents in the country. And if one of those parents can't make it to work because they have to care for their children, it just means money out of their pocket, money out of the local economy, and money truly out of our entire Iowa community. So that's got to be in there. We've got some pieces. I'd like to see more broadband. I'd like to see more of that in there than what's in a current infrastructure bill. And the other thing that I'm still trying to make sure we get into this bill is biofuels and expansion of the opportunity to sell more biofuels, ethanol in particular, across this country, by expanding market access, increasing, tanks and storage capacity at stations as well as the pumps. And so I'm looking for all those things. They're really important for Iowa.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Congresswoman Cindy Axne. Well, and I heard that the EPA was wanting to do some changes immediately and bring down the percentage of ethanol mixed for a year and then move up and increase it to what it was proposed to be. And it's the EPA is just sort of all over the place on this. Do you know why?
Well, I don't know why in particular, Bob, but what I can tell you is that since the RVO law was written ages ago, which gave us the opportunity, the renewable fuels volume that needed to be sold within our, you know, state pumps across this country, that there's been pushback. And one of the things I'm trying to do right now, along with a couple of my other colleagues, and I'm co-chair of the Biofuels Caucus, is to go to get into the really the one of the original policy pieces written and change a little bit of language. If we do that, we're going to see a lot less attacks on our renewable fuels, because there's an opening there the way that policy's written now that kind of allows different, whether it's the EPA or, you know, Office of Energy, whatever it is, you know, to be able to not comply. So we've got to make sure that we address this issue.
Now, I've learned recently that Des Moines is moving its light vehicle fleet to electric vehicles, and its larger trucks are already all running on biofuels. Is that the future?
Well, certainly, I think we're going to see huge opportunity for biofuels in large, you know, pieces of equipment, like you mentioned, you know, our bus, our, you know, part of the support fleet that they have, for their fleet that they have. I think we'll also see it in airplanes. We're talking about that. So what I think we're going to see is a lot of support for biofuels, really, in these bigger transportation vehicles, whether it's in the air, whether it's on the ground. And that's great news. Now, at the same time, though, I don't want folks to lose sight of the fact that we still live in you know, a fossil fuel driven country. Cars, electric vehicles are very expensive. And we're not going to be moving towards an all electric vehicle country for a heck of a long time. What we've got right now is a product in our own backyard that can reduce GHG emissions to help us push back against climate, and that's called ethanol and biodiesel. And so my job is to make sure that we push this, because to me, this is an answer right now that we have, and we should be using every tool in our toolbox. So as much as I'm grateful to see that we're going to be looking at some of those trucks and planes, et cetera, for ethanol, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that it's the individuals across this country who are purchasing gasoline that's blended with ethanol that really can give us a big boost.
I'm wondering if we're doing enough research into advanced biofuels. Are we putting enough, and I mean pure research, letting the scientists at our research universities do it, not have a corporate driven agenda, have our scientists doing work that's in the public good, not that necessarily is for the betterment of the profits of the company. I mean, we can do both, but we need scientists that are free to research what they think are the most viable fuels or combinations or whatever to try to make the advanced biofuels. Are we investing enough?
I think we could always invest more, Bob, and I think you're absolutely right. You know, we've got so much opportunity, and this isn't even just for Iowa or places in the Midwest where we use, you know, corn and our byproducts to develop ethanol and our biodiesel products, corn, soybean, et cetera. You know, we could be talking cellulosic fuel opportunities down in North Carolina with white pine needles. So you're absolutely right. We could be researching more into this entire area, finding out exactly how we can best use natural resources in this country to help us with our energy. And so I agree with you. We need to have more research capabilities so that we can find every opportunity. I think we've got a lot out there that we're overlooking. And to your point, we probably should put more resources towards that.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Congresswoman Cindy Axne. Now, I know one of the things you've been working on recently are making sure that our healthcare providers are compensated fairly for Medicare services. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, I heard about this problem, unfortunately, as I was running for office the first time, and I'd go out to, in particular, our rural healthcare providers, and they would tell me, Cindy, we're not getting reimbursed for our full expenses. And so I decided to take a look into this. And so what I have is a bill called the Keep Physicians Serving Patients Act. And the problem is, here's what's happening. Medicare, without kind of convoluting this with some of their details. Essentially, what Medicare does is reimburse our physicians for things like physician work, which covers provider wages, practice expenses, which covers things like office rent, malpractice, which covers insurance costs, etc. Medicare calculates all these things into an acronym called a GPCI, which is just really essentially the cost of doing business, right? What they've done, though, is that states like Iowa, there's a universal floor minimum, essentially, of one, okay, for reimbursed. What they've done, though, in Iowa, if you equal one, would equal 100% getting reimbursed, right? And some states get a little more because, their expenses are higher. Well, what they've unfortunately done with Iowa is that we're not even at that floor of one. So if you equate one to being, you get reimbursed at 100%, we're in some cases being reimbursed for 80% because we have not met that universal floor of those expenses that Medicare has outlined. Now, I talk to providers all across our district. Their expenses are equally as much as, someplace in Illinois or, in many cases, other bigger cities as well. And so we're losing out. They're literally losing money out of their pocket because of the fact of this the way that this formula is written to reimburse through Medicare. So here's the deal. Medicare, in the way that it's structured, provides many Iowa providers with much lower rates of reimbursement because it fails to account for the true costs of the care. And so what this bill does is make sure that this reimbursement rate reflects the correct costs and then sets a floor. And I talked about that floor being that one floor to ensure Iowa providers don't go below that national average of that floor of basically one, which we're under right now, when we're completing a procedure. So this is the deal. We cannot have lower Medicare reimbursement rates, making it harder for Iowans to, get the health care that they need because their providers can't keep their doors open if they can't afford it. And so this has hurt our ability to recruit more people into practice in Iowa, and especially in our rural and underserved communities. So I'm excited for this bill. It's a bipartisan bill. I hope we can move this agenda forward and get this done.
Now the whole world's eyes are directed at Afghanistan. Can you give us your assessment of that situation?
Yeah, well, I just had a briefing with the top intelligence and military folks for our house. What I can tell you is that the president and our military and intelligence are all working in tandem to ensure that we get Americans out of there as quickly as possible. And of course, the Afghans who helped us as we've been in the country for the last 20 years or so. And we're doing everything we possibly can to move those people out quickly, whether it is the multiple stations around the airport where we've got military deployed to ensure people can get in there safely, or whether it's changes to the process by which people need to go through so that they're safely vetted to come into this country. We're trying to fit as much as possible, expedite those things. So I'm, of course, devastated to see the gains the Taliban has made over the past few weeks, but I have faith in our administration and in our military and our intelligence that we're going to do everything we can, to get everybody out of there.
Now, just in the last hour or so, I saw national news is that the Taliban has announced that they're not going to be allowing Afghan citizens to make their way to the airport. So we're not going to be able to get out the Afghanis that helped us, all of them.
Well, we're going to do everything we can. I have not heard what you just mentioned. It's not what I literally just left a briefing an hour ago, and we had not heard that. So I don't know where that's coming from. What I can tell you is that the agreement with the Taliban is that they will allow those folks, whichever Afghans want to leave, to get out of there by the end of the month. So that would seem a strange turn from where we're at right now. I don't know if that's just a rumor, but I know that we're dedicated to moving these people.
Yeah, let me check something real quick. Yeah, I was just reading in the Washington Post, posted at 12:55, it's 12:16 as we do this interview. The Taliban says Afghans are no longer allowed to flee country from Kabul airport.
Well, if that's, you know, see how this is changing every minute here, Bob, you know, that's unacceptable, and we're going to have to push back on that. That's not the agreement, and we're going to get those Afghans out of there.
That's going to be, well, what do I know? But it would seem that that's going to be escalating the situation. Do you fear that?
Listen, I'd say we're going to do the plan that we've intended to do. We hope that the Taliban holds to what the agreement that has been made with us and our allies. If they change that on us, we're going to have to adapt as quickly as we can. Yes, obviously, it makes me nervous to hear things like that. We've got still quite a bit of work to do before the end of this month to remove everybody. If they're going to change the agreement in the middle of this, it will be much more of a struggle. So we're going to have to, you know, this is where we rely on our military intelligence groups who are working there nonstop around the clock to ensure that we get those folks out of there and, of course, in the future, prevent any terrorists from threatening this country.
Any last thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I want all of our listeners to know that our office is working very closely with Iowa veterans right now, flagging cases of Afghan partners who are still left in Afghanistan. We've been doing that for the State Department, and I want to thank all of our Iowa veterans who served there and who are helping us now be the conduit to get those folks out of there that literally helped our veterans stay safe. So we're working with our Iowa veterans. I couldn't be more grateful for their service, and now they continue to serve on the ground in Iowa with our office there to ensure that we're getting the partners out that help them. So I just want folks to know that that's happening in our district. It's happening across districts all across this country where members are working with their veterans to ensure that we are targeting the right folks to get out.
Thanks to Congresswoman Axne for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.